All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, Mountain State Survival.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube, won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. I have on with us today Jamie Walden. Jamie, every time you and I come on the radio, we piss off a lot of people. People love to either hate us or love to hear us hate on other people. And today we're going to do what we do best, and that is hate on the news. So let's talk about what everyone else is talking about. I'm actually getting a little exhausted about it, but hey, whatever, I'll get over it. Let's talk about the balloons.
Let's talk about the media and their disinformation campaign about the balloons, UFOs, whatever they claim the things are. And let's start from there and just see where this conversation goes. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on again. It is weird. You know, we talked a little bit off air, and for me, there's some major, like, you know, kind of baseline Mayday beacons going off with the narrative that's being pushed so vehemently. And that's the fact that every mainstream media outlet is running with the narrative. And if every mainstream media outlet is running with the narrative, it's because they're being told to, from the intelligence communities to the White House and from the White House out to all the mainstream media. There is only one reason and one reason alone why they would keep pushing this. Most people don't understand that there has never been a defensive firing of a missile from a U.S. fighter jet over CONUS, in CONUS, ever in recorded history.
Well, hold on.
And you're
hold
trying
on.
To tell me that in the last 3 days, not only have four missiles been fired, but four objects have been shot down over U.S. space. Well, so that tells me U.S. airspace. That tells me that there's something going on here that is far beyond normal. And I do not believe it's alien tech. And I actually don't believe to the majority of it that it has to do with a impending kinetic attack from a Chinese or Russian or whatever, evil access power, technological advancement of these things coming over the U.S. To me, the biggest story of all this hot mess fiasco and rigmarole is the stand down orders from the White House. That is the singular story that should be allowed to be aired, is the fact that a stand down order was given while a SIGINT, a signals intelligence piece of hardware / software / whatever intelligence collection device, was allowed to hover over U.S. Minuteman Missileer Strategic Command centers for over 2 days, and then allowed to cross the rest of the U.S. over strategic submarine bases before it was, quote unquote, shot down by a heat seeking Sidewinder missile on a balloon, which has no heat signature. So none of that makes sense whatsoever anyways. And AOF, you wouldn't expel a, you know, I'm not sure how much they were. I was a tow missile gunner for a while, and our tow missiles were about $250,000 a piece. And that's antiquated technology. So I can't imagine how much per missile these things cost to shoot down a stinking balloon. So that tells me that it was only ever about optics. It was about narrative, and it was about controlling the narrative, because the stand down orders that were given from the White House to the U.S. military and the strategic commands, including NORAD, to allow for the fullness of the Chinese reconnaissance to be completed for an impending kinetic invasion. That's what I think the story is. The story is the alien tech thing, all these little seeds that they drop, these little grenades that they roll in a room and then they back off, or saying they're unidentified high altitude objects. Oh, they're unidentified. We don't know. Since you and I are military guys, since when have you ever destroyed anything without PID, positive identification? You're telling me for the first time in U.S. history that a missile's ever been fired over the continental United States, they're never going to identify any single one of them? They're just going to randomly start firing missiles at things?
No, that don't happen.
This whole narrative is smoke and mirrors for the stand down order, for how weak and exposed the Democratic party was with the stand down order, with being bought off by China in every way, shape, or form. So then they do a backlash swing and push it out through the mainstream media. Look how strong and robust Joe Biden and the Democratic Party is. Don't look at the Hunter Biden laptop that was about ready to be revealed and gone through. Don't look at the fact that they're calling for legitimate impeachment, Democrats and Republicans alike, because of his dementia and his very advanced state of ailment to where he's ineffective as a leader. And don't look at the troop mobilization and build up in Poland and in Romania and in Moldova for an impending kinetic invasion against the Russians. Look up. Just like the movie. What was the movie? Talk about predictive programming on reprobate Netflix. The movie Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up. And there was literally, it was hilarious. There was actually, like, the movie was centered around these reprobate presidential campaign, of course, played by Meryl Streep, which who would be better to play a total, like, delusional, mentally ill liberal than Meryl Streep, and how they literally created an entire cultural fervor with the chant of don't look up, don't look up. Deny the reality of what's going on. Whatever you do, deny the empirical objective reality staring you in the face. And I think it's interesting that our mainstream media is doing that right now in real time with all this F-22, F-18, you know, balloon, no unidentified object. No, it is identified. No, it's Canadian airspace. No, it's U.S. airspace type of hot mess. So that's what I think is going on.
Well, for one thing, that whole TV series or show, whatever it is, it's on Netflix. Don't look up. I don't have Netflix, so I don't watch it. But I will tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. However, did it have to be a Sidewinder missile to shoot down a balloon? No, they could have went and did a Mach, you know, three or four and you know, ripped the balloon. They could have done a strafing run of anything. I mean, we have all different types of gadgets and gizmos that we could have used to take this thing down. I don't know why the Sidewinder, it's like a, 20-year-old, 30-year-old freaking missile.
It was just, it's just optics. It's always all about optics.
Yep. It's antiquated because, you know, when you do investigations, you're former law enforcement, you got to understand this. When you do investigations, you take in all theories, even the crazy ones, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and there have been times when I've stood there, you know, with my pen and paper, and I'll listen to somebody and they'll tell me just the most ridiculous statement. I'll go, you really want me to write that down in the statement? Because I'm going to write it down. It's going to look stupid on you. Okay, I'll write it down. You're absolutely crazy. It doesn't matter what it is. You take in everything, and then you start to find similarities, okay? And once you start finding similarities within the story, these similarities will then start to give more weight to maybe factual evidence than some of the crazier stories. The problem right now is with mainstream media and YouTube and social media, nobody knows the truth. And it's like we're afraid to say that because everybody's got an answer. Everybody knows everything.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this, and I got freaking castigated on the Intel report that we posted on YouTube by, you know, people who think I'm whatever. For one thing, I had a guy said, you know, why couldn't they have struck down the balloon with a 20 millimeter? Here's one reason why. Not to say that they can't. Here's one reason why. I believe they have to fire it in a burst. I don't think they can fire a single shot 120 millimeter round at a time.
No, they're not sniper. Our fighter jets are not sniper jets.
That would be super cool. That'd be super
cool. Yeah, that would be super cool. You're right.
So if they're going to fire a burst of 20 millimeter, I mean, that's like a foot long round, you know, and they're depleted uranium most likely, right? So if that hits the balloon and keeps going through along with all of its buddies following behind it, eventually it's going to fall on something. And if it falls on someone, well, that's going to look really bad. You know, they could have done a sonic boom next to the balloon. They could have ripped it. That was one theory that I was told by State Department or friends of mine at State Department. And by the way, none of them know what's going on.
Actually, on a side note, Doug, I got a buddy working on gathering some legit primary source intel. So he's currently actively a part of, I won't say what, and he works on ISR platforms. So anybody's familiar with ISR platforms, it's intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft. They work in different stacks of assets, aerial assets, all kinds of aviations and avionics and SAT-based things. And when you're talking about ISR platforms, you're not talking about one individual predator drone that's staying overhead for 24 hours or 36 hours collecting intel. You're talking about aeronautical stacks and layers of intelligence gathering at different altitudes, at different ranges, with different platform capabilities that all get consolidated to paint one general picture. So he is actively a part of that world. And I said, bro, if there's any way so that I don't sound like an idiot on the air, that's what I told him. I said, bro, so I don't sound like an idiot or sensational or hyperbolic, can you test the waters to get me some kind of yay or nay? I get operational security. I don't ever want anybody to compromise themselves.
Absolutely.
But are these threats legitimate, or is this hyperbolic mainstream media manipulation? Because they'll know, because that's their whole world. That's the only world they operate in, is these different aerial platforms for surveillance and reconnaissance. And he said, and this was right before we went on the air. I had 10 minutes. I caught him like, bro, put your feelers out. Like, just give me a yay or no. Is this valid threat, or is this just mainstream media manipulation? So anyways, Oh, maybe we can do an updated thing when he gets back to me. I haven't heard from him. He said, I'm going to start calling people right now. And obviously within the confines of operational security. But here's the reality of what's going on is, you know, I was listening to David Pines. He's a national security advisor kind of guy. He's worked on the National EMP Commission, has a lot of great data. He does not lean into the sensational or hyperbolic at all. Dude is straight, hardcore, empirical, objective data. That's the way he operates. That's the way I want to operate. If I'm speculating, I will tell you this is informed speculation. It's not mental gymnastics. It's just based on the preponderance of the evidence and the totality of the circumstances. This is where I lean. And I could be wrong, but this is my informed speculation. Okay. But this guy, David Pines, National Security Advisors, he goes into great detail saying unequivocally that this platform, just the balloon, we're not talking about the other things that got shot down, which who knows, they probably are literally fabricated. I doubt they did anything, but he said that this was a very strategic SIGINT collection balloon allowed to stay over the United States to collect real-time data for interception and disruption of nuclear launch orders from our nuclear triad. I'm reading it because I want to quote it. I don't want to misquote it. He said it was for the interception and disruption of our nuclear launch orders for our nuclear triad. So that means should the subs want to talk to the airplanes, want to talk to the ground-based missileers, they won't be able to. They can now corrupt, disrupt, or intercept those orders coming. So there is not a single missile that can be launched to this day still without presidential authorization of particular launch codes. Those balloons with their SIGINT capabilities were allowed to go right over Malmstrom Air Force Base, where the majority of our missileer campaigns come out of and our national defense, NORAD national defense come. It was hovering for 2 days. And if a civilian had not spotted it, probably we would have never even heard about it. We would have never heard about it. It was allowed. They tracked that balloon when it left China. I've seen the data. They were watching it over the Aleutian Islands. They were watching it over Alaska. The Canadians were watching over Canada. And then lo and behold, it comes in the U.S. and there's stand down orders given to NORAD and the U.S. Air Force. This was one of the last acts, I believe, of treachery and of treason and of our sold out political officials of the U.S. for an impending kinetic strike on the U.S. mainland and our inability to respond to a nuclear first strike capability of both Russia and China, which, by the way, they just recently changed their doctrine so that they can legally justify first strikes having not had a nuclear threat imposed against them. So that's what I think is going on.
Well, and China just joined the BRICS nations as well, officially with monetary system.
That's interesting. So I have that as a note is like, even all this is centered around the impending nuclear Armageddon. I mean, nuclear, financial Armageddon, the impending financial Armageddon. This is all in play and equally being used to smoke and mirrors the whole globe.
Many years ago, I had a friend of mine, and I don't know why he broke down and told me this, but he just broke down and told me it. He was a captain in the Army, in their intel community. And he told me that the only thing China, and he didn't tell me anything OPSEC or anything damaging. He said the only thing that China is waiting on to fight the United States is for them to become the number one monetary system in the world and for the United States dollar to be devalued. And that has stuck in my mind for like 6-7 years now. I've been paying attention to this and I can't believe it's unfolding now, right?
Yeah.
Right now. So, and now we got balloons in the skies. No one knows what the hell most of them are. We know one of them. And, you know, I've been talking to people, the capabilities of the balloon or what the balloon, let's say it like this. We don't understand the full capabilities of the balloon, but what was it capable of? Okay. It was capable of possibly deep scan detection methods.
Yep.
It was possibly able to ping any cellular device that has Bluetooth or Wi-Fi turned on, made in China. So that means iPhone, iTablet, which the entire government went to iPhone and iTablet to include most likely the military as well. And so if you're sitting at any depth under the ground, and, you know, if a signal can get out, it can then scale how deep a place is. It can find a skiff. It can monitor and observe and capture data from microwave, from radio, cell phone. I mean, it doesn't matter, the internet, you know. And not only that, and we've said this before, but every frequency from law enforcement, federal law enforcement, state, local, to military, to National Guard, that's being pinged off of all these different towers in America. And by the way, 90% of them, so says the FBI, has Huawei technology on it. And we never heard if they all got taken off or not.
Oh, it's funny. I have that note in front of me, is that the FBI's findings from 2020 literally says that the Huawei cell towers were specifically designed to intercept nuclear launch codes outside of DC. Like, listeners, this is official FBI findings. This is not hyperbolic in any way, shape, or form. This is what they're doing. The interruption and the interception of launch orders to impede our ability to respond during a first strike. All they have to do is delay you 10 minutes. Delay. Just, right? Draw D. You draw D from the military, from our days in the Marine Corps infantry, Doug. What is the enemy's ability to defend, delay, reinforce, attack, or withdraw? Draw D. So yeah. What do I need to do a delaying action? Oh, I'll put up the Huawei or Huawei towers right outside Washington, D.C. for the specific purpose of nuclear launch code interception. That's official FBI finding. Now we have this balloon flying over our strategic nuclear bases, allowed to stand down orders, listeners. Listen, stand down orders. Listen to Governor Newsom, hot mic things from Chinese generals saying Governor Newsom is on board and has been bought and paid for to issue stand down orders when they hit the beaches of San Diego. They've been told that he is going to give stand down orders to the National Guard, to the Marine Corps bases, to the naval bases, that they will not be allowed to respond. He has assured them of the stand down orders. So now you have this next layer of our strategic nuclear command and our aero defense, our NORAD, our ability to create aero defenses around the continental United States. These balloons, this balloon is very particular. People go, why would they use something so antiquated and technologically archaic as a balloon versus a satellite technology where they can read, you know, a license plate from low Earth orbit? Well, low Earth orbit signals intelligence gathering is 200 to 300 miles above the surface of the Earth. A balloon at 60,000 feet is 11 and a half miles above the Earth. Same technology on the satellite as there was on the balloon.
It also says
now
something.
That technology can narrow its field of focus. It can narrow its collective abilities. It's not this big, broad spectrum thing going out. It's very particular, and it's only 11 and a half miles off the surface of the Earth. Like you said, with the GPR, ground penetrating radar, they don't need LIDAR. LIDAR is antiquated, right? It's the GPR with the signals intel collection. Signals intel, most people aren't familiar. That's metadata. That's cell phone. That's radio waves. That's ELF. That's EMF. Any type of frequency waveform data that is ever being communicated is being pulled. Yep. And just so you know, our Minuteman missile systems are the most technologically deficient, antiquated analog systems in the world. They literally still use, I was just watching documentaries on it from 60 Minute Specials from 3 days ago. They use floppy disks, the old school ones that are the size of a record sheet, right? For a record player. That's still what they use. Pre-1970s. Data and infrastructure and electronics and electrical engineering, that's what they use in those things. So you don't think our technological advances for signals capturing now can pull every piece of data out of those missile silos? That's what they were being allowed to do so that they can move through the U.S. unimpeded. That's the plan.
There's a few other things in here. For one thing, the satellites have a navigable zone where they do not monitor everything. The balloon found a way in. How did they know? How did they know, right? We know how. Somebody told them how to navigate that balloon, which that balloon has a propulsion system on it, so it can self-propel. The other thing, is that between that 60,000 foot and under, you're actually within an international law for air flight traffic. So that balloon was considered to be an aircraft. That's why it's called an aircraft. If it was higher than that, they would have had legal precedence to shoot it down. However, even though it does state that, you know, at the stratosphere level and then going beyond to the moon or to wherever, flat earthers, be kind to me. I'm just trying to remember what the law says.
Yeah, you always have to give the qualifier, flat earthers.
Oh,
please,
my God. I know.
Please don't send me nasty grams.
So anywhere beyond that is actually considered to be like fair game and man can't own it. But you can own the aerospace above your nation, okay? That's NORAD's goal with Canada and with America. So what China did was actually considered to be legal, moving that balloon at that altitude. The reason why, once again, we said that there was an actual risk here is because it was observing, monitoring, and surveilling nuclear ICBM fields. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and then it moved from our nuclear missile silos in the remote areas of Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, over our strategic submarine bases, which is the other component of our nuclear triad. Most people don't understand the silent warriors of our submarine forces. Our submarine forces are singularly responsible for maintaining peace on Earth, for lack of a better word. People have no clue what goes on with the submarine fleets, where they are, what they do, what their capabilities are. It's designed that way. So for them to go right over the area like Columbia, South Carolina, Charleston, these areas like that, this is radically significant. The other thing is that most people don't know that in northern Idaho, I can't remember what the name of the reservoir is of the lake, is the U.S. Naval our subsurface naval warfare testing grounds is in a freshwater lake in northern Idaho, in the panhandle in Idaho, right where this stinking balloon went over, you know? And here's what's interesting about the takedown of the balloon after it was done collecting its data. They waited for it to go over the ocean so that they could have plausible deniability for recovering the wreckage. And then according to the mainstream media accounts, the satellite package, right, the information package attached to the balloon is what they shot. What intelligence agency destroys a foreign adversary's intelligence collection device intentionally? That is literally the complete antagonistic perspective of intelligence collection, to destroy the very thing that you want to study, that you want to know, that you want to understand, that you want to glean from. And they targeted the intelligence gathering package on the balloon over water. I mean, so this whole thing just stinks to high heaven of full-on infiltration and the depths to which our country has officially, as if we didn't know it already, been sold out. So you go, okay, what comes next? You know, I have heard the prong of the potentiality of what this was about was that it was a passive means of mobilizing inside the continental United States. I have heard that argument, that all this stir up and the spin up in the mainstream media is so that we can passively mobilize NORAD. We can passively mobilize assets for World War III with China and Russia and India. I mean, not China and Russia and Iran and their axis versus NATO and the West, that they're doing it passively in a way that won't create panic in the American populace. Because again, the economy, one little hiccup and the economy's done. Stock market's done. We're talking threefold beyond the 1929-1930 stock market collapse. So that they're pushing this narrative out there so that they can passively mobilize our continental United States assets. I don't believe that. I don't think that that's what's going on. I think that this isn't about mobilizing our assets. This is about making sure that our enemies that have bought and paid for the information have all the information they need to be as successful as possible when they come against the continental United States. That's what I believe is going on.
Well, the easiest answer is all of the above. All of the above, and why in the shit didn't we shoot it down? Really, yeah. that's the only conclusion. Look, we're going into World War III. America's going to get hit.
It's imminent. It's 100%. It's 100%
EMP
coming.
Is extremely likely right now, because what also was happening with these balloons was proof of concept. They yes. proved a concept that they could manipulate a balloon past our radar system through NORAD. I keep saying this like people, I don't care if they're gray aliens or not. I don't care if the Biden administration allowed it to happen or not. The fact is that NORAD, I'm sure, wasn't briefed on this, and it passed through our defenses, multiple balloons. We don't even know how many. The last time I was tracking this, it was 8 balloons. And I don't know if that's the same balloon that's being seen, and you're getting the same information I have. I don't know if that's the same balloon that's being seen over multiple states, but from what I know is there was 2 balloons over Montana at the same time, and one was taken down, and one was retrieved.
And even secondarily, most people aren't aware internationally that these balloons – in the last week, same time frame, were caught over Guam.
Over
Hawaii. Hawaii, most people don't understand that. Hawaii is our missile defense headquarters. For the continental United States is the Hawaiian Islands. Guam is a strategic base, you know, that gives us access to that whole region of the world. They have been finding these balloons in the last week over all of our major assets, and nobody's messing with them, and nobody's taking them out. That tells me that they are being allowed to do that, because the radar signature on these balloons is you're not going to miss it. These aren't stealth balloons. They literally have the most broad spectrum radar signature that you could ever think of for some aerial vehicle. And the bottom line is that they're being allowed to do this. And, you know, you wonder if there's aspects of this that's related to that Seymour Hersh article coming out, basically like unequivocally saying the U.S. is the one who blew up the Nord Stream pipelines. And so now, you know, Russia and China now have all the impetus that they need for a first strike.
Yeah.
The nuclear doctrine that they just changed is if their critical infrastructure is threatened to a catastrophic level, they reserve the right for a nuclear first strike. Well, his article just came out and the whole world now knows, like we already knew, right? In the alternative media, that the U.S. blew up a $20 billion natural gas pipeline, which is a major undergirding of the Russian economy. And we took them out.
That's called sabotage. That's economic sabotage.
That's war.
Biden himself said it's war. Himself said it's war. He said, if I put planes and tanks and men into Ukraine, hey, folks, that's war. Well, you know, I'll be a son of a bitch, like he likes to say whenever he got that dude from Ukraine fired. Yeah, man, you caused a war. And then the draft will happen.
You don't send the 82nd Airborne and the 101st Airborne to mobilize in Europe on the border with war-torn Russia and say, no, there's no war going on here. You don't send tanks that have to be occupied and need the logistics to run those tanks. Every tank that's on a battlefield requires anywhere from 3 to 7 logistics vehicles to support that one tank. That is all U.S. It's all U.S. parts. It's all U.S. men. These are not being operated by Ukrainians. World War III is 100% imminent. And this balloon is just one more aspect of the greater narrative that the American people are not being made aware of. I can't say every other country, that's too broad of a statement. Many other countries of the world right now are fully mobilizing their civilian defenses, their nuclear fallout shelters, their acquisition of medical supplies, even their nascent iodine and their different potassium iodine tablets. They are all preparing for war. Their economies, of Russia and China and Iran, they have given officially legislated statements to retool their entire economies for war, just like we did in World War II. We took every manufacturing facility, every textile plant, every little nuts and bolts place that we could inside the continental United States, and with mega industrial might, retooled them all for a war machine, which is the sole reason why the U.S. has become a superpower, is because of that ability to mobilize manufacturing for war. That's the only reason that made it a superpower.
Let me insert something. While all this is going on, the ATF said, register your guns.
Yep. Isn't that interesting? Because it goes back to what they have been assured by our treasonous elected officials, is that they will do everything possible to reduce America, to divide America, to create internal strife, to defund police, to give stand down orders, to roll out things that make people have to leave the military. You guys know what I'm talking about, and I can't say. They've done all this strategically. They have we have Dianne Feinstein's driver and so-and-so's Chinese spy and so-and-so's Chinese spy and this guy at MIT and this guy at Harvard and this guy at Yale and this guy and then the intellectual espionage and the corporate espionage and the you know, the 10,000 foot heavy aircraft runway being put in Texas by a Chinese general while Governor Abbott allows it to happen. And all this is going on in real time because they're bought and paid for. They've been assured that by our elected officials, you give us a seat at the new table of the new order of things, and we will do everything within our power to make sure that it's as easy as possible for you to come in and occupy the U.S. Fertile Crescent of the Midwest and our farmlands and our major manufacturing hubs to undergird the new structuring of things. It's all been promised to them.
Let's move on to a different subject because I'm getting super pissed about talking about balloons. Because everybody,
bro, I'm gonna send you a balloon in the mail. Like, I'm gonna send you something.
Everybody is sending in their two cents to include us. Why not? To include us. But the purpose behind this is to tell people there's other things happening. Quit worrying about what they keep pointing at.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Quit worrying about what they keep pointing at. World War III is about to throw down, man, and we're not ready for it. So let's talk about Let's talk about occupation. What are we to do? Now, the average, I say, what are we to do? I know what I'm going to do. Doug knows what Doug's going to do. Doug's being prepared for what's going to happen on that day, because most likely when post-apocalyptic America happens, I'm going to go back into Judge Dredd mode and go be the apocalyptic cop I always wanted to be, because that's what's most likely will be needed, because it will be insane. If hey, man, me and you were in Haiti around the same time. Look what's going on in Haiti now. Can you imagine Haiti being every single town in America? That is what happens when the EMP happens. We get invaded. The government gives you up. You lose all your money. All the money in your bank goes away. You can't buy food no more. You turn into Haiti overnight, bro. This gets so much more dangerous. And there ain't nothing you can do really to stop that from happening, because none of us listening to this are within the reins of the power of making these decisions.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
It's interesting that you should bring up Haiti, because I've always said unequivocally the most dangerous place that I've ever operated
freaking
was
crazy.
Haiti.
Crazy.
Haiti.
Hey,
I would go to Iraq or Afghanistan.
Oh, I'd feel safer in
right smack in ISIS held territory any day over going to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I've never seen so much lawlessness, vileness, murderous spirit over an entire area as I did in Haiti. And maybe most of the viewers don't know is I lived in the Dominican Republic. So I lived on the island that shares Haiti, and I've never seen anything like it. You could be shot in the face at any time for sitting in a parking lot because a guy was bored. That's how Haiti rolls. Haiti is the most murderous spirited place. They outstrip the bloodlust of Muslims any day of the week, of radical Islam. Let me distinguish radical Islam from, you know, normal Muslims, but of radical Islam, their bloodlust is insane. So when you say that it will be as it was in Haiti inside the U.S., that's unequivocally true. And when
Haiti,
you take
Haiti
out
is the days of Noah, man. That's what it is.
It is violence beyond comprehension. I'm talking every single person has the propensity, the capabilities, and even the motivation for murder. And when you have a collapsed government with a collapsed economy, with a collapsed infrastructure, with collapsed supply chain, with imminent threat of potential bodily harm or death, everybody becomes murderous. I don't care how nice your neighbor was for the last 20 years of your life. One hiccup in their reality and they're a threat. And what's interesting is when you do the threat analysis, which I know you did for your role in DHS, and I've done on different, you know, advanced parties as far as reconnaissance and stuff like that. One of the number one things we look at is not the, you know, bullets, band-aids, and beans, but it's the response of the civilians. Our threat generally is not other militaries. It's not force on force war fighters. Those are very solidified expectations are met when you do force on force. It's the civilian population and the insurgencies and counterinsurgencies that are going down in real time. That is always your number one threat.
Well, driving around in Port-au-Prince, okay, with our principal, and I don't know if we said this before, but it was Gary Haven. So driving around with our principal, and I'm sitting in the back of a Toyota Helix, and, you know, Hades traffic, their two-lane road, which is like a six-lane highway, is just, you know, right down the middle of Port-au-Prince. It's all straight downhill. It's insane. Like, you'll be driving by, there's a dude, like, you know, chasing people with a machete. Here's another lady who's throwing, you know, all of her bathroom materials out onto the street that people are walking out on.
Yeah.
Horribly disgusting. And it's sad that people have to live like that still with today's technology, right? But here I am sitting in the back of a Toyota Helix like this. You know, principals, they're chilling in the front of the truck, and we stop at a stop sign. And this is what I found to be so interesting. We stop at a stop sign. Here's my big ass sitting in the back of this truck, and then here's another Toyota Helix that stops. We're going down towards the airport, and they're going up towards the hotel that everybody stays at. Everybody within these groups of people will stay at. And what was in the back? Two tatted up white dudes, most likely with the same skill set that you and I are on, with their principals and their truck. And then I realized what is going on in Haiti is that there are rich people flowing around Haiti, hiring guys like us to protect them to do God knows what. We know there's a lot of child trafficking. Whenever we were there with Gary Haven, it was rescue operations. It was literally just bringing food and medicine and doctors in. That's all we did. We didn't have weapons attached to us. We weren't doing, you know, anything nefarious. But I will tell you a few stories, though. Some of the things that makes me realize in my mind how quickly things can break bad. Now, look, you and I have been in some austere environments, all right? I was in Fallujah. I was in Ramadi. I did a little bit of contracting in Baghdad. You know, I've worked in some of the worst cities in America. Everything's fine, okay? Everything's fine. Port-au-Prince made the pucker factor beyond anything else.
I've said the same thing.
We were sitting out there on the tarmac, and we had to go to Lakai, which is where the airplane strip. Remember the airplane
strip
in Lakai? Uh-huh. So
they about ripped the wings off of the airplane when we landed there.
That was so scary because it's an uphill land, and you had to dodge the lighthouse and swing back and forth and tip the wings to tell the kids to stop playing soccer and get all the goats and cows off the airstrip. It's out there in the middle, you know, nowhere, and you know we land. And at first it's just a couple people. And then the second time we land, it's like 50 people. And then the third time we land, and every time we're landing with doctors and nurses and goods, you know, water purification, because there was no water. The power was completely down because of that huge 30-foot tsunami that came in, destroyed everything. We're delivering goods. And then the next time we land, there's like 1,000 people. And what happens then? I get the water first. This is the first thing that happened. These guys started coming out of the woodworks, and here we are delivering pallets load of goods. And these guys are coming out swinging their machetes and axes. And it was two brothers of the same town that wanted to be the heads of the town. And they're about to get into like a melee knife fight in front of me and the principals, right? Me and the two people I'm here to protect. And I'm like, okay, we need to back off. These people are getting a little crazy. We need to back off. And here we are. We're just delivering goods to help you, and you're wanting to kill each other right here in front of us. That's the reality of starvation. That's the reality of chaos. Let me also say this.
Yeah, it's the reality of the breakdown of lawfulness as you get lawlessness. And people don't understand what true lawlessness is. This goes back, excuse me, to the global elite's attempts to defund police. They want to defund police and create racial strife. This is Petrostrokia deception 101. This is communist infiltration 101, so that you have total, utter lawlessness. Mm-hmm. And people don't, when you talk about, like, it sounds sensational or hyperbolic about Escape from LA, right? Super it's lame not. Movie or whatever, but that's,
and then Kurt Russell is also a snake plissken.
Yeah, I know you've seen it, and I've seen it in real time. What happens when you have a breakdown of any form of civil or even cultural paradigms of normalcy or of goodness or of protecting your neighbor or of unified help or whatever the case, when it goes straight every man for himself, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like, I mean, I remember having to take when we were over there in Haiti had to exfil this little 3-year-old girl. Fell into a fire, had third degree burns all over. It ended up being like this 2-day extract by, you know, car, truck, boat, finally plane, then to an ambulance. You know, I was a paramedic specialist at the time. So they throw me in this Haitian ambulance because they don't know how to treat this guy. And as we're running with this patient, the ambulance gets surrounded by about 200 guys with masks on and machetes and bats. And all I have is a Glock against the door. I'm riding, you know, riding shotgun in this ambulance. And I have a Glock against the door as they're smashing on the windows, beating on the windows, wanting to flip an ambulance over who's caring for their own people. It has nothing to do with that. It's just animalistic rage, animalistic rage. I actually caught it on film because it was probably one of the few times in life where I was pretty sure I was going to be murdered. So I threw my phone on record and just set it down so that at least my wife would have something to know what happened. And so I actually have that on video, that whole experience. But yeah, needless to say is I guess bringing it full circle is when we're talking about the macro, the balloon's micro, right? The balloon, the shoot down, the blah, 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 missiles, why they did what they did. That's the micro stuff. It's insignificant. It's easy to get lost in the weeds on that. But what we're talking about is the macro picture of World War III going in your face, kinetic among superpowers, global, with a restructuring of everything you've ever known to be normal, from governments to monetary systems to cultures to civil institutions to infrastructure to basic needs being met to even law enforcement, EMS, hospital staff, you name it, done. All done, happening overnight. Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about.
Well, one last story from Haiti. We were on the tarmac, and I was talking with the joint command that was there with NATO, or the UN, excuse me.
And the UN guys.
Yeah, and it was the bunch of the Brits. I think they had some of the Brazilians there, and then the Marine Corps was there. And we were trying to do a route reconnaissance, because originally we were going to see, because it would have been easier to get an 18-wheeler filled full of goods to make one or two trips over to the Lakai area, which is the southern part of the peninsula, than for us to fly it. You know, I think we ended up doing like 30 plane flights.
The lift capability on those planes is hardly anything.
And we're doing, medical evacuations at the same time, because so many people had gangrene by the point of time that we were able to get there to them and get them out. And so I'm going into the Tactical Operations Command, and I'm trying to just get some basic intel of what's going on the route and let them know, hey, we're about to push through. And, you know, I'll give you a call and let you know what things are looking like, because even the United Nations weren't sending people there anymore. Yes. Because it had gotten too dangerous. Let me tell you why. This is what I was told. First off, the United Nations had a helo pad there. And after everything had broken down, a helo had landed after the waters had subsided, because the freaking island was flooded, right? After the waters had gone down, people had come down from the little short mountains. They hit that United Nations airbase, broke through the chain link fence. Here's a helicopter trying to take off. And people were swarming the helicopter. And the helicopter fell, busted the blades, and we got to see like the satellite pictures of it. And I'm sitting there just like looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Right.
It's just
me. And so I'm like, okay, well, little tactical preparation and planning is going to be in order for this. And then WHO and WFO, so World Health Organization and World Food Organization, I never even knew of the WFO, start to push out from the Port-au-Prince Airport, which was the large staging ground for all the forces that were coming in. So they go to push out towards Lakai with a convoy of food, and all they had with them was a couple cops. They had, I think, like 4 or 5 cop cars that were trailing them. And we're not talking about like people trained to the highest standard. Right. I had a SWAT team that was assigned to me as my protection detail. And I mean, it was not great. Their weapons were available for me should I need it, more or less.
I said the same thing when I was over there. I'm like, well, I got unlimited access to firearms whenever I want them. I'll just take them.
Yeah, it was interesting, man. So,
yeah,
as this convoy of food and medicine is pushed out, a town that's in between where their destination is and where they left, which was the Port-au-Prince Airport, ambushed them. The town in between ambushed the convoy. And I'm getting the intel right now from the police commander and from one of the United Nations commanders that was out there of what just happened. And they cut trees down so that the convoy couldn't move forward or reverse. And then they killed most of the police, killed two of the drivers of the vehicles, and took everything. And then, like, the president of Haiti had to send the military out there, and they got into a firefight with these people. And that happened in Haiti. What do you think happens in America? Whenever they send the next big convoy to your town to refit and resupply you, okay, let's give this hypothetical a little bit of breathing room. Let's say your town is part of, you know, the catastrophic area that's been affected for whatever reason. And here they come trying to refit you and resupply you. And then a town in between takes all your goods. You know what that starts? That starts a little tribal war, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And what I think is going on with, I mean, obviously you're on the front lines of Portland and Seattle. And when I look at Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco, all three of these cities, and then also like Bellingham, Washington, right? These other port towns near the Columbia River Gorge, they are all intentionally being pre-destabilized because they're going to be the fobs for the initial Chinese troops. So they're intentionally being destabilized internally with the reductionism of law enforcement, the reductionism of critical infrastructure, the already the tribal fighting, the racial tensions, the Antifa, BLM ilk versus normal people that are sane and healthy and loving and goodness, and they're filled with lawlessness and this vile, visceral, rebellious spirit of just murder. And they're all being sown because they're doing exactly what was going on in Haiti, is they're preparing for the complete breakdown of critical infrastructure so that they can restructure and reorganize. And it's interesting that all three of these major cities are on the West Coast, which is where Wei Feng, right, who's the equivalent of head of DOD for China, has spoken openly about being given access to for an invasion of the U.S. mainland. So when you start combining all this, like, it is happening in real time. But the general American, because of their normalcy bias and because of the fact that they all just spent their energy giving themselves over to a Luciferian initiation by watching the Super Bowl yesterday, and they're more intrigued with bread and circuses than any of this stuff, it's going to come upon them while they're unaware. Yet everything has been built up for this moment in time since 2008. Well, since 2008, it has been go time for preparation for war.
And let's connect another thing, GridX. GridX was done on the West Coast. And when this happened, who did Barack Obama invite? The Chinese.
Chinese and the Russians to learn how to take down our power grid through cyber warfare and then bring it back online. They were brought in and taught that in real time, listeners. If you're not aware, GridX 1 and GridX 2 drills, we brought in the Russian and Chinese and showed them how to take down our critical infrastructure and then bring it back online so that you don't have a cascade collapse of the electrical grid. It's crazy, right?
We got 5 minutes left, and I'm going to give you the last 5 minutes to say whatever you want to say. If you want to give us a word from God or whatever it is that is on your heart right now that people need to be, you know, listening to, reading up on, praying about, whatever, I'm going to shut up. Like I said, the next 5 minutes is all completely yours, bro. Have at it.
Whoa, that's a scary tall order. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I know that it can be overwhelming to digest this depth and breadth of information and all the multiple layers of connection dots. And I know even sometimes as we're talking candidly, like Doug and I can talk candidly because we have the background and all the information leading up to rightly connect these dots because we've been immersed in this reality, you know, for the last 15 years of our lives, and then the intelligence side or the research and analysis side for the last 10 years of our lives. So it's easy for us to make these connection points and not be overwhelmed by the information. But I know for a lot of listeners, it is easy to be overwhelmed, to be overcome, to have a paralysis of analysis, or maybe even a fear-based or anxiety-based response to not knowing what to do and how to compartmentalize what's going on around us in real time. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you what, that's why the only thing that will ever suffice is that you have an identity in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior alone. It says heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of the Lord will never pass away. To know his word, to have it hidden in your heart, to have an identity hidden in Christ alone, to have the hope of glory, the hope of resurrection, have no fear in death when you're in Christ, covered by Christ, by the sufficiency of his blood and giving of his life to cover over your sins. That's why guys like us can talk, I want to say passionately and emphatically and zealously, but without a fear or anxiety response to the information that's going on. Because when you are secure in the Lord, it's like Psalm 112 talks about, we're not of those who fear bad news. Our hearts are steadfast, trust in the Lord. Our hearts are secure. We have no fear. We are not shaken. We're not shaken because our lives are built upon a true and better foundation, the solid rock of the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And so we know that these things are true. The stuff we're talking about are true. They are occurring in real time. We never know exactly when the aha, great, you know, crescendo moment of all of it's going to come. But all these are the precursors to it. But even in that, I can be secure and confident. I can get off this interview and go invest in my children and my wife and love on them. I can invest in other people in relationships. I go out and I share meals with people. I hike and explore and go on snowboarding tomorrow with my son for his 14th birthday, right? Like, I can still go and live and be radiant and be joy-filled and smiling and laughing and engaging people because my hope is not in this world. And if your hope is in this world, all of this is going to crush you and you're going to be overcome. But if your hope is in Christ Jesus and it's true and better coming kingdom with the Lord God Almighty, none of this will shake you because this is not your home at all. And my satisfaction and my identity and my value has nothing to do with what's going on in this life. I have a good home that has been prepared for me, a house that has been prepared for me in advance through Christ Jesus. And it's a kingdom that's never going to cease to exist. Oh, and its joy will never be taken from me. Oh, and in that kingdom is great peace. Oh, and in that kingdom, every tear is wiped away and all suffering and all striving and all fear ceases in that kingdom. So I'm good to go, ladies and gents. And you can be too, if you do business with the God who loves you. And he proved it by the lengths to which he was willing to go with his son, Jesus Christ. That's all I got.
Hey, how can people listen to you?
Yeah, they can find me on YouTube as long as I'm on there. I get like kicked off or whatever strikes regularly, but YouTube under Jamie Walden, Rumble. I've had to create a whatever channel over there as well too. It's Walden0352 over there. And then also omegadynamics.org. So that's omegadynamics.org.
And what I'd like to say, people, is, you know, our brother Jamie needs your support. And if you have any wishes for donating to his ministry, you can find where to donate through omegadynamics.org. There is a support page on there. And I do ask that you do support Jamie. He does everything on his own. The base camp out there, I think we'll be visiting this summer. Hopefully we'll be holding some training out there this summer. That'll be interesting and fun. And, you know, right now you got guys like Jamie who are standing out on the battle lines, and there are a lot of men who, you know, who preach the gospel from way back in the rear echelon, and we need to support the guys like Jamie who are willing to get out into the front, into the fray. So, Jamie, thank you for doing what you do and for standing up boldly for Christ. And this is the last thing that I would say to people is trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all the stuff that's going on right now, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overcome by fear. We're not supposed to live in a spirit of fear. So just stay frosty, continue to train, continue to prepare, and continue to pray. The enemy's out there. We'll see you next time.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.